my desire tonight is to cover a portion of the 12th chapter of 1 Kings. I'm intending to go up to about the 19th verse, and Lord willing, on next week we'll cover that last portion. So without further delay, I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into this lesson that we have for this evening. God, we thank you again for another day. You are just better to us than we actually deserve, because if you were to mete out to us, measure out to us how we fall short, then none of us, we wouldn't stand. So we thank you on this evening for your mercy and your grace. As we come together from time to time and seeking truth, to be reminded, to continue to learn and grow, I ask that you help us, dear Lord, to continue to consult your word and not deny the Holy Spirit that you have left for us to be able to fulfill your desire. Sometimes it's so easy just to talk about what we see in the scriptures. We don't just want to talk about it, Lord. We want to live it. We're living in a world that is very trying right now as far as testing us. Are you allowing them to test us? Help us to be firm in the faith and not ashamed. You told us that if we're ashamed of you, you would deny us before the Father. I know what you said, Lord. Help us in our homes. Help us with our children. Help us with the decisions that we have to make. Help us even when it's our own flesh, dear Lord. Sometimes it would entice us to walk away from what we know to be the truth. You're not mocked. You told us whatsoever a man soweth, you said that will he reap. I'm asking the Lord that those who live in other nations who are really enduring some persecution of a physical nature, a spiritual nature, I ask that you help them to hold on and help us to be even more prayerful for our brothers and sisters that may not be in this country. I ask that you just continue to help us. Help me tonight with going through these verses that we're going to look at on tonight. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So as I already stated, we're going to be looking at about 19 verses of this 12th chapter of 1 Kings. I want to give my title, and then I'm just going to give sort of a little recap of where we were when we were looking in the 11th chapter. My title tonight is God is not mocked. Again, I say, God is not mocked. If you've read in the scriptures, and or at least in the book of Galatians, I'm taking that from a verse that comes from the 6th chapter. I don't remember if it's the 7th verse or the 8th verse or the 6th verse, but I know what it says, and I've used part of that in my prayer. It said the verse goes something along the lines of this: be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman, an individual, whatever that person sows, that person is going to reap it. That language is a language that is using a term whereby one would think of agriculture. You plant a seed in the ground, you expect a certain yield of that. God in his word has let the individual who will take time to read it or in that day hear what the message was. It's like if you sow to your flesh, even if God has said you don't do these things, you yield your body as a sacrifice, but you go and you do something else. Guess what? After the rain and the sun and the wind and whatever the elements do, there is a natural process by which when that seed goes down into the ground, it's going to begin to germinate, and it's going to come up, and it's going to produce what you sow. In other words, you say, I'm getting to the text. I am. You plant your tomato seed, tomatoes coming up. Don't look for oranges. So you see that my title tonight is God is not mocked. And so I was thinking about that. I'm going to try to tie this in as we go into the scriptures tonight. Solomon, we looked at the last few verses in the 11th chapter on last week. And we saw how God had raised up three enemies. Doesn't that sound crazy? Well, sometimes upon first hearing it the way I said it, it might sound crazy, but I'm talking about what the scripture says. The Bible gives us to know that they were let's say two first. Two adversaries that were brought up in the time of Solomon's life as he had aged. Why is that? Bible says that Solomon, and I'm still like in the 11th chapter. The Bible says that as Solomon grew older, because he had married many wives, 700, I think it said princesses or wives and 300 concubines, it said they turned his heart away from God. Now, this is, I think it's be a short lesson tonight, because a lot of this is you can read and say, okay, I understand that. I hope to add something to it, even if it's just a reminder. It's really sad because Solomon actually was a wise Solomon was a wise man, blessed by God with wisdom beyond compare, to the point that other nations, kingdoms, dignitaries, queen of the south, went to hear the words that this man would speak. But because he himself, having been established by God, having a father who left him part good example and some things that was not to do, but David repented, he left in that example. Because he walked away from him, the Bible said that God grew angry with this individual, this man. So there was two adversaries that were, let's say one, I'm going to just say one from the south and one from the north, who would begin to give this man who was supposed to have a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of instruction for the rest of the world. They begin to cause problems for him. And the way the scriptures read, Hadad and Rezin look like they almost worked together in a sense to trouble this man. And then as we end it with the last few scriptures, we're going to look at a little bit tonight and going on to this 12th chapter. There was an individual who Solomon had saw some leadership qualities in this man. At least we're assuming, because Solomon placed this man over some people because he had observed him when they was building the terraces around Milo. It says it's filled in the gap. We've talked a little bit about that, and you can kind of look it up. Solomon had watched this individual say, okay, this individual looks like he is a good worker. He's a man of valor. Maybe he's able to fight, just skillful. There's something about him. He'll do what I tell him to do. And that it looks like people will observe him. And so he places Jeroboam over some other people that's a part of the labor force. And God is going to use this Jeroboam also to be a problem for Solomon. Lord, have mercy. What about the wisdom that this man had? And think about how he let it go. Dree, I want you to, if you would, let's look at these last, let's start at verse 40 of the 11th chapter, and then we're going to move on into this 12th chapter tonight.
Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the acts of Solomon, and all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead.
Thank you for reading that. Now, just looking at this 40th verse, we see that before Solomon left the face of this earth, he was not happy about Jeroboam, understanding that his kingdom was going to be written to, or torn, divided, if you will. It's like, I'm going to kill this Jeroboam. Interestingly enough, there is something very heavy here. And we see it. We see it time and time again. It looks like in the scripture, once an individual who has known the Lord, known God, finds out sometimes God's judgment, he or she will often want to fight against it. In this case, I'm speaking of Solomon. Solomon had found out that because of your decisions, because you did not continue to walk in wisdom, that which you knew was right, the wisdom Solomon wrote about, he said, it's like a woman. I can't remember if it's in Proverbs, the fourth chapter. If it's not the fourth chapter, it might be the sixth, 6th chapter. It's like, wisdom will preserve you. She will keep you. It's like, she will nourish you. Speaking as if it's that mother who really loves her child. Give me my baby. I carried this child for months. I want to hold him, her, put that child in my bosom. I want to feed my baby. Let me look at my baby. Wisdom. The wisdom that comes from God. Even in the time when we don't understand, James says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Make your petition made known unto God. You keep imploring, you keep inquiring, you trust God. Bow down before his sovereignty and seek his face. Jesus said in a parable, be like that woman in Luke the 18th chapter. I'm not going to go there. She was persistent. James said, let him ask of God. He won't get upset when you're looking and searching for the truth. Well, Solomon turns away from this wisdom and he decides, I'm going to kill the very one that I know God is now determined to have a part or rule over part of the kingdom. We saw it in Saul. Yes, we did. Saul wanted to kill David. Anyway, time passes. We see that Jeroboam, he said, I got to escape. My life is in danger. It's in peril. So he goes to Egypt and then he learns that that Solomon dies. So we're entering into the time where we're going to talk about Rehoboam, Solomon, the son of David. Solomon has a son, and I can't remember, and I didn't search it out, if I'm honest with you, for tonight to see if he had other sons. I would just think that with as many wives that he had, even though I don't believe he probably gave them equal time, that he probably had other sons. But Rehoboam is the focus. Dree, before we actually go into these verses tonight, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter, and I'll read the 18th and the 19th verse, because I'm talking about Solomon. There are things that a child of God can actually lose because he or she would actually relinquish it. We're going to look at, remember Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote Proverbs. I just want to see there's some truths here as we go into that. Just kind of want to think of some things that you reap. What you sow, God is not mocked. He's not mocked. Are you there, Adrian? I think it's Ecclesiastes 2nd chapter. I probably didn't pronounce it that well. 2nd chapter, 18th and the 19th verses.
Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knows whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun.
Now, when we look at these two verses, and I'm sorry, she said he wasn't finished. Continue to read.
This is also vanity.
Now, why would you start with that verse? I'm starting with this verse. Let me repeat it again in case you say, well, I didn't get to write that down. If you wanted to, the Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter, the 18th and the 19th verse. When you look at Ecclesiastes, we see a man who's had the time to ponder and reflect on his life and then to write down some truths. Anyway, it says, I hated my labor. In other words, all the things that I have done and had people to do, because Solomon was a king. And so there were people up under him. He could command, do this, and it better get done. I just believe there were people who were afraid of him. Yeah, I believe it. And he said, once I finished all that my little heart's desire, you know what? I got to thinking about that thing and I'm going to leave it. In other words, I can't enjoy it. Now, some cultures believe that you're coming back, you're going to enjoy it. You got those pyramids where some believe that the king or the pharaoh would come back and enjoy certain things and all that. Solomon said, you know what? I don't even know if the person after me is going to be a fool or wise. Really sad, because we're going to see as we begin to look at Rehoboam, his son, was he a wise man or was he a fool? When I make my title tonight, "Be Not Deceived, God Is Not Mocked," there's been a legacy left from one parent to the other parent. I'm sorry, from one, well, it does make sense. From one parent to the child who would become a parent, to his child who would eventually, probably, most likely, become a parent. So when we want to leave the legacy of following God's word, there's so much. Don't be deceived. The decisions that you make, they germinate, and God is not mocked. Lord, have mercy. Let's go into this. Let's go into this first verse. We'll probably go back to Ecclesiastes at least once or twice before we get to the 19th verse. Would you read, Dree?
And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve you."
Now let's stop right there. Okay, now these verses are probably going to go fairly quickly. Rehoboam is now on the scene. Solomon is dead. So if we can remember the name, because these names sometimes, if we're not familiar with the text, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Jeroboam is the one that Solomon was going to try to kill, verse 40 of the previous chapter. So now that Solomon is dead, Jeroboam gets news. Solomon, he's deceased. So he determines, "I'm going back to my home." Let's just call it Israel right now. And Rehoboam is in power, if you will. So when we go back, as I like to, we're gonna go back and look at this first verse. Rehoboam determines, I guess he, I don't know exactly how he determines, but anyway, he decides that, okay, we're going to Shechem. Shechem had some historical value there, historical, connections, connotation. Let me say, Shechem was about 40 miles north of Jerusalem. It's also, you would say, it's not really in the area of Judah, but let's say it's close. Judah is your southern kingdom. Judah is what we often associate with. That's where David is from. Okay, so there's other things that we've talked about with Judah. So Shechem is about 40 miles north of it. Scholars that I've looked at believe that perhaps Rehoboam had chosen this particular area because he was still interested in uniting the southern kingdom, that is Judah, with the northern kingdom. So when we look at this northern kingdom, even though it's not that far way up, it's like, okay, maybe this is a possibility. I personally believe that even though we read that Solomon, Solomon wanted to kill Jeroboam, I think his son knew about it. I think that Rehoboam knew that Jeroboam's life was in danger. I find it very interesting that Jeroboam actually ends there at this place where, let's say, Rehoboam is going to be, let's say, I almost want to say like, make it known that he's power as the king. Some scholars believe that Rehoboam might have been too scared to say something to the people. And then again, there's some scholars who believe that Jeroboam was still possibly wanting to unite the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. I can't tell you for sure, but I don't believe that he did not know about this. We read about the prophet Ahijah in the previous chapter, who had told Jeroboam that you're going to get 10 tribes. Let's go back to the text. Shechem is also known for being the place where Joseph's bones were buried. So there's some historical connections with Shechem. Let's continue on. I'm sure there's more. I'm back at the first verse. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel would come to Shechem to make him king. So it looks like he's got the consensus of the people. Now you say, now is that all of Israel? Some believe that it's a representation. I just don't believe that every single individual is there. But again, I think that it's probably a representation. So we're going there, and it's going to be an open, acknowledgement that he is king, going to take the place of his fathers. Listen at the second verse. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, just recalling what we read in the previous chapter. Could you mute your phone? I'm hearing a little bit of background now noise. So when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, Jeroboam, and dwelt in Egypt, that they say and called him. So as we were, I think, being taught on this past Saturday, that there was like a system by which news would travel. Okay. Horses, camel, I'm not sure, but the news got around and said, hey, this is taking place. Come on back home, man. So they called Jeroboam, and he comes with the congregation of Israel, and he speaks to Rehoboam with the people on behalf of the people. Now, let's understand something. When we were looking in the 11th chapter, we mentioned, or I mentioned, how it looks like Rehoboam had observed Jeroboam, and that he had some kind of skill and that he was a man of valor. Okay. So anyway, here he is. And so let's continue on and see what it says. The fourth verse reads as follows. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father. Do you want you to read it? I'm not reading it like I want to. Fourth verse, please.
Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee.
Okay. This is so important. Let me slow down a little bit, okay? This is very important. This is a plea from Jeroboam and the people. Now, there's a part of me that wonders, okay, now, why is Jeroboam doing this? Is Jeroboam thinking, okay, I don't know how God is going to do this. Do I start out serving him? I can't say what's going on in his mind, but I do know this. Ahijah the prophet ripped his robe and gave Jeroboam 10 pieces of it. Jeroboam knows somehow. Jeroboam. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay.
Jeroboam.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, yes, it's going to happen. So Jeroboam knows something, but I think about David. David, here he's running and things so forth for over a decade, and he's wondering. I believe that we might see a little bit of this. And Jeroboam says, "Okay, let's have peace at least at this point." Jeroboam's like, "Don't be like Solomon. Solomon has taxed us to death. Go back if you have time, or to listen to it and or read it. Look at the fourth chapter where he let's say commissions or determines that there's going to be different regions that's going to feed the palace, and we got a lot of people up here. Look at the fifth chapter where he determines that there's different people who are going to be like your foreman, your managers, they're going to be overseers. But these people, after all of this time, now 40 years have passed, because in the 11th chapter near the end says Solomon reigned for 40 years. I have to bring this up. What did little Rehoboam observe in his father? What did a maturing young man, a teenager, an 18-year-old, 20-year-old, what did this Rehoboam see in his father? I imagine that he got to hear some people speak. I'm just imagining that Rehoboam heard some things and knew some things. I say there's a legacy that the parents need to leave their children, and that legacy must be God. The legacy must be fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Rehoboam, your father left some text Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Did you read them? No, actually, before we continue, let's go back and look at this play here. Jeroboam is saying to Rehoboam, again, Jeroboam came from Egypt. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. He says, please ease this burden, this taxation. We can't breathe. I'm a little bit of hyperbole, exaggeration. We can't breathe. Man, as soon as we get the work, it's like what we work for, we got to give it over. Now, I'm reminded of what Samuel told the people. But before we look at what Samuel told the people, and I can just remind us, Dre, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy again, the 17th chapter. I want you to read the 20th verse. There was something that the kings were to know. There was something that the kings should have known by way of observation. Watch the people in your lives who say they love God. Some will have a sincere heart and be able to please God, even in trials. Others will not have a sincere heart and will not try to please God, but might pretend. So we're in Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. You could actually, I don't want you to start at the 14th verse. These are some things that God had let Moses know. He's telling the people, when y'all finally get over to the promised land and you decide you want a king, there's something that the king can do, cannot do. And he laid out the stipulations. But I want to emphasize this 20th verse of the 17th chapter. Will you read it for us, Dree? She said, I'm starting at verse 18. Okay.
And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites.
This is referring to the king. The king is to make a copy of the law given by God. Read, please.
And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life.
The king needs to spend time in God's word. Why?
That he may learn to fear the Lord.
You know, God's going to teach you how to think about him. God's going to teach you that I'm the one who lets the sun rise. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that's in control. I give you a part to play. You are my servant. You do what I say on behalf of the people. This is what the king's supposed to do. Read, please.
That he may learn to fear the Lord his God.
The king has got to learn to fear God. Read.
To keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them.
Now, this is the 20th verse that I really wanted to highlight. Go ahead, please.
That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren.
Oh, snap. That's what they used to say. I don't think they say it anymore. Bing, bingo. The king's heart was never supposed to be lifted above the people, though he had a position that, somehow speaking, was above the people. You're not to act as if you are better than the people. You have a position. And I gave you that position, and don't you abuse it. Don't you lift yourself up over the people. Didn't we see it in Solomon? Didn't we see it in Saul? Read the rest of this verse, Dree. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren,
and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel.
Now, this kingdom was to be prolonged, and I promise you it was to be a unified kingdom. It was to be a unified kingdom. Now, I made reference to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. We're not going to turn there, but I'm going to tell you this. When they decided, and I've gone back in history, we want a king, we want a king, we want to be like the other people, Samuel said to the people, he said, if you choose a king in this manner, he's going to take things from you. Though we saw it with Saul, there seems to be, or there is evidence that we see some of the same sinful deeds. The king's going to tax you. He's going to take your lands. He's going to take your fields. He's going to be lifted above the people, above his brothers, the thing that God said not to do. So I want you, when you have time, if you need to, turn to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and read what Samuel told them, and the people didn't care. We still see some of this. Bible says that you reap what you sow. Now, when I say that, let's not think that I'm saying that God didn't give them the a right start. He did. He David had his spirit. Saul had his spirit, and Rehoboam is going to seek for some advice, and we're going to see that on this evening. So again, I'm going back to the text, and hopefully you're following me. Jeroboam says to Rehoboam, and I'm back at the fourth verse, and then we're going to pick back up with some of these subsequent scriptures. Thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke. We have put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. We will show our allegiance to you. It seems to me that this request is actually lacking something. It should read, follow the commandments of God, and we will serve you. The king's responsibility was to be an example to the people. And don't think that the people didn't stand up sometimes. I'm going to make a little remarks and we'll go back to the text. When the people in history wanted to kill Jonathan, they stood up against it. When Saul wanted to kill David, when Saul wanted to kill all of those priests, the men stood up against it. There's a time when a people, a part of a body or an assembly or even in a family, when they know they're on the side of God, they should choose God. Choose God over even something that's going to actually lift the burden from you, because if it's not from God, it can still be grievous. And maybe they meant that. There probably was someone in there. But not just like that. Follow the Lord and his commandments, and we will serve you. Dream. Let's pick back up at this fifth verse. Read down a little bit so we could talk a little bit more about some of these verses.
And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever.
Read.
But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give you that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.
Read the next verse, please. Verse 11.
And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.
Stop right there for you. Stop right there. We'll come back, or we'll end at verse 12 after I talk about these. Remember, we want to go to verse 19 on this evening. Whoa. We can look at this and think that this is such an ill-founded decision. Let's go through and try to comb through a little bit of this. Verse 4, we find the people imploring, begging, Rehoboam, please just take the burden off of us. It's we should have a certain amount of joy of life. First of all, with the people of God. Lord, go back and read what God told these people that he would do for them. A crop that would always yield, cattle that would always have little calves or whatever. women that would bear and increase the generation of God's people, enemies that God would destroy the enemies. He said, but you got to obey me, their own kings, destroying the kingdom of God, because he lifted up himself. You know, if we bring this home before we go back to the scriptures, we have little kingdoms. Sometimes we're a kingdom unto ourselves. Sometimes we're a kingdom in our homes. We're supposed to be. Sometimes we're a kingdom on the job. What kind of kingdom? What kind of kingdom? In thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Do we rule? Does God rule? Will we turn away? Are we measured up ourselves above God and his word? Let's go back to where we are. Fifth verse. Rehoboam says to these, let's say to Jeroboam, remember, he's looks like he's the voice for the people. Rehoboam, the king, Solomon's son, says to them, okay, I need you to give me 3 days to think about it. Go away, and then I'm going to get back with you on that. Listen at verse 5. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days. Then come again to me, and the people departed. Now, the way this seems, when we continue to look at this, this looks like it's something that's perfunctory. Like it would look wise. Maybe he was serious about, I need 3 days to really ponder this thing. I can't tell you for sure, but I see the results that we're about to read again. He consults two different groups. He consults some aged men and he consults some young men. The Bible says that they are same group of fellas, or I don't know how many, that grew up with him. Let's go back to the scriptures and read about it. Verse 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? The Bible speaks of the aged, both in the Old Testament and what we call the New Testament, as a people who, by reason of their experiences and knowing God, should have wisdom to depart from their lips, from having served and been obedient and known of God's mercy, his deliverance, and his judgment. All of that, let's wrap it all together as if it were like a little video. What do you call them things? You call it a burrito? Wrap it all up together. And these aged people should know something. Well, these aged people lived under, maybe tyranny is too strong, but I'm going to say the burden of Solomon, how he built all of the palace for himself. He built the palace for his wife. Go back and read. And the people say it's too much. So Rehoboam asked these older individuals, and this is how they respond in the seventh verse. And they spake to him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people, did we not see what Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse, this king and subsequent kings is not to lift himself up, and that he takes charge over the people as if he is God. You see, it didn't say that. Read between the lines. You can also look in Luke, the 22nd chapter, around the 24th verse. Jesus was teaching his disciples. He said, the one that's the greatest is the one that serves. Jesus knew the scripture. Jesus knew how the scribes and the Pharisees were, how they wanted the praise of the people, how they would take the things from the people. They stole the vineyard, didn't we? They beat the people. Yes, yes, Gary, you're just going all over the place. Listen to Saturday's message. Anyway. They say to Rehoboam, 7th verse, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then will they be your servants forever. Again, I say the ingredient, maybe this is implied, I didn't read it. Serve the Lord. Do what God has said. But they need a break. Sometimes people in high positions, political, social, and even in the churches, if they can force the people to feel like they need something, like what you give the government can take back. We're going to give you this so you can, follow us. Anyway, it might be another topic. So he says the same thing that Jeroboam has said on behalf of the people. Eighth verse. Listen at what Rehoboam does. Rehoboam, it says he forsook the counsel of the all men. In other words, he neglected to follow it. He chose to reject it. They had given him this counsel. And it says, and he consulted with young men that he had grown up, which stood before him. So I'm like, okay, well, these people there, you know, when the person's in power, sometimes you got people that are just like little dogs, and they want a crumb. They want a crumb. They want a piece of the power. Well, he forsook it. Looked like he forsook it before he maybe consulted with them. It looks like when I say he did this thing perfunctorily, give me 3 days. Was it that he already knew that he didn't want to hear that? Was it that he saw his father have a certain amount of let's say credibility before the people? Look at these dignitaries coming to see my father. Look at this gold. I had servants when I was growing up. Oh my God. Look at all of it. I can do the same thing. The people didn't seem to go against my father. Why should I? Maybe these individuals, maybe some of these people were relatives of his. I don't know. I didn't read that. But it looks like they want a piece of the pie. It looks like they want, you know, sometimes how the wealthy will take care of the wealthy. That might be another story. Rehoboam, don't listen to these all men. What they know, man, you better set these people straight. It reminds me of something that I read in Spanish years ago. I shared in discussion because it's kind of comical, but it's along the same lines. Anyway. You let these people know from the start who's boss. You ever hear somebody tell that to you? Tell your wife who's boss. So it looks like this is what he wanted to hear, doesn't it? Now, what I want to do, Dree, is before I go into these last few verses, well, let's see. The ninth verse, let's just go and look at this ninth verse. I'm going to want you to turn back to Ecclesiastes here. I mean, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at the first through the sixth verse, Ecclesiastes, fourth chapter. Let's go and see, what did these young fellas tell Rehoboam? Say, hey, man, he said, don't do that. You tell them that instead of making it lighter, you're going to increase that load. Now, listen to how it reads in verse 9. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people? I need to tell the people something. These people done spoke to me saying, and they asking that I lighten what my father did. 10th verse. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thou shalt speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made thy yoke heavy, but make thy yoke lighter unto us, that thou shalt say unto them, my little finger, which is thicker than my father's loins. You know what? You ain't. There used to be a song. Oh no, you ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything else. 11th verse. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with a whip, but I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. Okay, so some versions, when you get to this little finger imagery, will read this as my little finger is bigger than my father's waist. I've read where it's actually talking about the male member. It's bigger than my father. My little finger is bigger than my father's male member. There is a point here, whether you think that's crass or not, whether you think that's harsh or not. This king saying, I don't really care what you say. I'm not listening to counsel. I am my father. We can see that the people felt oppressed. I'm going to impress you even more. Don't come to me with that stuff. I'm ruling. Dreep. Now we're going to go here to this fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, also written by Solomon. Solomon, I've asked Dree to read verses 1-6. It's talking a little bit about oppression. And again, Solomon wrote this, most scholars say, when he was older, but also at the time he was older was when these women, these wives, turned his heart away from God. But he could still write something that would need to be paid attention to. Would you read it, Dree?
So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which have not yet been, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I considered all travail, and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool folds his hands together and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit.
Perhaps I shouldn't have all of them. I just was reading. I was like, I like them all. The part I really wanted to focus on, I guess you could say, was in the first two verses. I mean, there's some definite wisdom in there. This is this Rehoboam's father that had penned this. And he says that the people that are oppressed, it's like they get no reprieve. There's a point that I want to make here, and I think it's scriptural. Sometimes when an individual has really done well in following God, that individual sometimes can do one thing and it'll almost seem to absolve all of that which was good when that person followed the Lord. In the case of Solomon, I think it was more than one thing. There's some years of him walking outside of the will of God. Remember, he raised up worship areas, high places, and raising up altars for these God of these other nations that represented demonic powers and authority over these other nations. Now that would be infiltrating or mixed with God. And when God said, thou shalt have no other God before me, not in front of me, I'm your God, you follow me. And here is Solomon, who made a bridge from that which was wicked to teach these people how to reject God. Here is his son picking up on the legacy. He's rejecting what the people need. He's getting ready to break the commandment that we read in Deuteronomy. Oh, the simple worth of obedience. And maybe I don't mean it simple in the sense is that it's not worthy. Simple in the sense of just obey. Yes, there's toil. Yes, sometimes there's ridicule, but there's a blessing. There is a blessing. Oh God, you needed to be there Saturday. You needed to be there Saturday. How sometimes we have to suffer. We have to suffer, but it's worth it because we receive life. You reap, you're gonna sow. Dre, I want you to turn to it. We're gonna turn to Galatians right quick, and we'll come back to this Galatians 6, and it's somewhere around the 7th verse. I'm bringing in thoughts because we have to be students of the word, and that when we bring things together, that we understand that the things are written aforetime and written for our learning, but there's an application. There's an application. Oh, so my title tonight was that be not deceived, God is not mocked. This king is going to reap what he's done. Solomon sowed some seeds. And there are times when parents will do what they need to do and their children will make decisions, but they need to know I walked away from the instruction that I was given, that I know to be right. I know to be holy. I know that will bring me back to right standing with God. What is it? Did you see? Where is it? Galatians 6 and what? 7. Read Galatians 6 and 7, please.
Be not deceived.
Don't you be deceived, fooled, tricked,
hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Yes, by your own heart. Read it. Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
You don't pull one over on God. Did you read what Hebrews 4:13 said? We're not going to read it there. We're not going to read it. You can't, in other words, you can't hide from God. You can't do it. Go ahead.
Or whatsoever a man
that
sows. That
thing that you do, those deeds that you live, those thoughts that you have, you continue in that thing. Trust me, you're going to have an orchard. Did you hear what I said? You have an orchard. This is the kind of tree you planted. You planted that thing. Don't you blame God for what you planted. Don't you blame God for your misfortune. Now, misfortune can happen. you still follow the Lord. But you need to go back and listen. Go back and listen to Saturday's message. It's already up. Sometimes God will use us because we hate that verse. Sometimes all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Ask Joseph. Ask Moses. Ask Jesus. Ask him. It's a hard thing that sometimes to realize. I know. Whatsoever thing. Read it, Dree. Read it, please.
For whatsoever a man sows.
That thing that you sow. Solomon, David, Rehoboam, Gary. You got children. You got a wife. And God's going to open up some books one day. He's going to show you. Whatsoever you plant,
that shall he also reap.
Gonna reap it, buddy. Gonna reap it. No. God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. Ask David, who was forgiven, if he had to suffer some consequences. Ask Elias. Well, that's not the one I want to say. Eli from 1 Samuel. He didn't correct his sons. Bound. Your sons were bound. Ask him. Jeroboam and the young and the older men pleaded on behalf of the people. And Rehoboam, he decided to reject that. I'm back at the 11th verse. He says, 11th verse, he said, "Now whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, burdensome, cumbersome, too much to bear. I will add to your yoke. My father has chased. I'm sorry. I wrote. She said, I don't, she don't, she wants to read it with more. You may do that.
And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.
I read that the scorpions also means whips. So I would, if this is true, then it's probably maybe a different type of whip. I did not go behind the language and see. There's probably someone in the in our group that would know. But instead of answering with a soft voice like Proverbs 15:1 said, then you can appease. I said a soft answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. Now you upset these people. Dre, I want you to pick up at the 12th verse and read on down through the 19th verse, because those are the verses that the last verses that we really want to look at from this particular text.
So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spoke to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David." So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day.
All right. Some of these verses, I want to say maybe two or three, they repeat what we've read. So I don't think I really have to dwell on those, but let's go back to this 12th verse. So Rehoboam gets the counsel or the advice from the younger men. And it's, first of all, it's really sad. These are supposed to be men. They first of all, they're family. And they're supposed to have love one for another. When if you read in the first five books, particularly, my mind comes to, I'm thinking Leviticus and thinking Deuteronomy. I really start confusing the books because some of it's like really, it's dealing with the same things. It's like you treat your brother a certain way. God describes what love is. God describes how not to cheat your brother. God describes how to treat the stranger or the foreigner. God describes how if you have someone who's indebted themselves to you and need to pay off a bill, that you don't even treat, you don't keep their wages from them. God is telling him how to do all this. He describes a relationship in the family. He describes a relationship from tribe to tribe. He describes what their relationship was to be to the rest of the world. God tells them how to treat one another. And we have come to this. We have come to this. And it's really sad because it reminded me in the time of the judges. I think I don't remember. It's several times mentioned in the judges, the book of Judges, that there rose up a generation that did not know the Lord. And I'm like, how fast can that happen? My wife said, real fast. If we observe what we do and do not do for our children and what we do or do not receive from our parents who really are trying to help us, it can be fast. It can be so fast. 10 years seems like a long time until you pass it. 20 years seem like a long time until you pass it. So sometimes people say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for the Lord when I turn 50. I'm going to live for the Lord when I'm 60, and will die many times and have not lived for God. Oh my God, what these young people should have been doing was correcting in the body of God, Christ, this assembly, which was the assembly of God, the people of God. They should have been correcting one another. All right. So Jeroboam, Rehoboam, the 3 days pass and he goes back and he's going to follow suit with what these young persons have said. So I'm going to pick back up with the second verse and we'll move through these. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me the third day. So they did it. And the king answered the people roughly. What about that soft answer that your father talked about? And he did not listen to what the old men said. Now, how many times, we probably can't count them, when we had the counsel of the Holy Spirit say, this is what you do. This is what you forsake. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse them. Be washed by the regeneration of the word. He said, no, can't do it. The daggum. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him. And he spake to them, the counsel of the young men. And he repeats the whole thing again. You ain't seen nothing. You think you got a yoke on you? I'm finna show you something. What's my daddy name? No, what's my name? Yeah, I'm adding what you call our vernacular. Maybe it's a little outdated, but you get the point. Where is God? Where is the language of God? Even if our children grow to despise part of our instruction, all of our instruction, give God. And don't forget, while giving God, receive God yourself. Whew. What's wrong with our world right now? 16. Wait, let me see. I want to go back to this 15th verse. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord. Okay, so right here, you say, God caused this. God is allowing all of this. Remember Ahijah, good old Ahijah that we read about near the end of the 11th chapter? And he came and say, okay, all of a sudden we're learning about this prophet on the scene. And he tells Jeroboam, you're going to be ruling other people. So I said before, maybe Jeroboam was wondering, I would imagine that while all of this is going out in his mind, he might that he was thinking about this. On last week, we had a little bit of our discussion. We were talking about Jeroboam and said while he was helping build the gap between the terrace of Milo and there was valleys and so forth there. I think he knew about this taxation. I don't think he liked it. So again, I can't tell you with a certainty, but I believe that all of this is going through his mind. Bible says this a call. This was from the Lord. Now, I think we can see in the scripture that first of all, God didn't want the kingdom to split, so he's working. For lack of a better way right now for me to say it, what man will do is not going to change what God does. However, how to get there, sometimes he will use an individual who's decided not to, he works through men to still bring his cause to fruition. I hope that makes sense. In other words, Pharaoh had a hardened heart. God still used Pharaoh. He killed him, but he still uses individuals. So I believe this is like God's allowing this definitely to happen. He's like, this is what I said is going to take place. Jeroboam is going to be used. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. 16th verse. So when all of Israel, now these people are listening, this third day, this king, this Rehoboam, he's going to be worse than his daddy. And they're like, they don't like this. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king saying, they speak it up. What portion have we in David? In other words, David was that good king. He's supposed to lead. God told David that there will always be someone to sit on the throne from his loins. Do we have any portion that we don't even have an inheritance in that? Y'all going crazy. Solomon went crazy. Now, Rehoboam, what's going on? It's like each son gets worse and worse and worse. We don't even have any part of this promise. Well, what portion have we in David? It sounded like I was reading it, and I was reminded because I wasn't thinking about Sheba. Sheba, one of those guys that wanted to be a general when David was coming back from Mahanaim, somewhere around, I think, this, I don't know, 8th, 9th, 10th chapter, 2 Samuel. It's good. He said some of the same things, but he was wicked. He said, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to your tents. In other words, let's just go home. Everybody just go home. O Israel, now set to thine own house. David. So Israel departed unto their tents. They went back home like very disgruntled and not happy with this. 17th verse. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So now we see where we're going to see this split. Rehoboam would be reigning over Judah, that southern portion. And then we have Benjamin. Let's see if I can get this right. Benjamin and Ephraim, which is sometimes referred to as Israel, since they were small tribes. Scholars say they just kind of showed their allegiance to Solomon. Not Solomon, I'm sorry, Rehoboam, and with that southern tribe Judah, and the other tribes are gonna be faithful to Jeroboam. Here we start. Let me repeat again: the 10 tribes of Israel from the north are gonna be faithful to Jeroboam. The southern tribes are gonna be faithful to Rehoboam. So we see this right here, the 18th and the 19th verse. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram. Now, we read about Adoram in the earlier chapters. I'm thinking it's chapter 5 where he was making certain men to be over others and so forth. And he's going to be killed. Listen to this. The King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones. Now, imagine if he died. Therefore, since this, I wonder if Rehoboam actually saw it or just was told about it. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. In other words, Jeroboam's like, well, maybe I wanted to unite the north and the south. I better get out of here. So his chariots probably had an entourage of men that would still try to protect him. They get back down south a little bit. Remember, I said it's about 40 miles. Shechem would be about 40 miles north of Jerusalem. You get back. So Israel rebelled against the house to David unto this day. And unto this day, meaning at the time where this was written. This reaping what he sows, but there's a lot, it's like a chain. There's some kind of effect that's going on here. Lord willing, on next week it's gonna get worse, saints. It's gonna get worse. Jeroboam, even though it seemed like he was here for the on behalf of the people, this man gonna go crazy. The son of Nebat, he gonna go crazy. Title: God is not mocked. None of this. I mean, not taking God by surprise. And he thinks he's the king. Want to do this? He's not mocked. You're gonna reap this. Look at him running now, down to Jerusalem. He's scared. Wasn't even supposed to be confusion amongst them. Anyway, that's the lesson for tonight. I don't know if there's any takeaways from it, but I'm about to pray and we're going to open up for discussion if there's going to be any. God, we thank you for your word. Help us not to just be hearers of your word, but help us. You require service and a life of obedience. Help us where we're weak. Build us up so we can help one another with wisdom. We thank you for your word. We ask that you just continue to be with us, Lord. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We are open for discussion if there's going to be any on tonight. Questions, insight, or the scriptures, comments.
That was good.
Thank you.
I want to know about the little finger.
I thought you might say something like that.
Because it's like you said some things, but you know, bring me out, please, on finger.
What I read this time around, I did not read anything about like being the male member. I know I've read that in time past. When I was looking at this time, two different things. Both were saying like waist. I know when I think loins, that I read about loins. It's kind of like abdomen area below the abdomen where the sexual organ that man uses. So. I know there's some that will say that he was talking about the male's penis or his father's penis. And it's like, my little finger going to be more than that. And if that, I didn't go and look at the word, but if that's true, I think there's even more to it, because if that's what you use to procreate and bring forth life, then that's some evilness that's about to ensue because of your wicked heart, you know, your little finger. So, but I know that you have read and I'm just believing that you remember, so you can actually notice how I'm flipping this, or at least trying to share what you have read.
I was just inquiring to your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to add anything to his little finger.
Yeah. Is there
let this dude that got killed?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, is there anything else known about him? I mean, could he have turned that job down, or did you find out whether he really wanted to go out there and be a sycophant and do it? I mean, you know how some folks, did you ever watch a movie called Django?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember having watched.
It's spelled with the D, D-G-A. Anyway, there was this black guy that was over the slave, but he was a slave. But he was glad to keep the other ones in line. He was glad. It made his day, because he was a better slave than the other ones. And I just wondered if this man had just been commissioned a job, or was he one of those kind that want to keep the people in line and A sycophant. That's the best word I can think about it, because the one that most people use really don't fit if they watched Uncle Tom's Cabin. Mm-hmm. The one they used does not really fit.
Well, the first time that I recall reading about him, I say in this book, it does come from the fifth chapter, and he's mentioned in the 14th verse. And this is when Solomon was basically putting different people in charge. So I'm going to read that. I did not read anything else about him other than this stoning him. So this is coming from the 1 Kings 5th chapter. And I think I will start with, I want to start with the 14th, well, the 13th verse. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel. And let's see, I just lost my place. And the levy was 30,000 men. 14th verse, and he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by course. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home. And Adoram was over the levy. In other words, he was taking the tribute. And I think this is part of what we were talking about on last week, where some of these men were having to work. I think
Adoram are the same person.
Yes, Yes.
Okay.
Unless I read this wrong. Yeah. Sometimes, like, especially like even with Chronicles, I read part of the Chronicles account. So sometimes the name will be spelled slightly different in Chronicles or Kings and so, but yeah, this is the same person. I don't know why specifically it's left out right here. Or why? I mean, some of the letters are left out right here, but yeah, same person. So Tim, I don't have any other
Thank
information.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't
no,
have any
I,
other.
I just want to know what you had. That was a little more than I had given thought to him, but it's a difference sometimes when I'm listening to somebody mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about that dude. He might have, you know, been in on it, or he was just one of those that got caught up in the rapture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know if he was one of those kind of people that's a sycophant and got in there with all his kissing up. That's it, like some people say, and got himself dead.
Well, I speculate that because he was set up by Solomon and he's listened. I just don't feel like he was ignorant of what the old man's plea was, since it was pretty much the same as what everybody wanted. And then to hear, you know, Rehoboam come out with all this stuff, I just imagine that, okay, like he's made this, I guess I'm going to call it a decree mm-hmm. or like threat. And so like, if you don't get out there, what is he really going to be like that? I mean, he's already made the statement. So I just figure, like bro Charles used to say, he was probably afeared and got out there. And then, he was damned if he did, and he was damned if he didn't. So that's my speculation on that. That's a conjecture.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you. I want to hear somebody else.
Anyone else?
I enjoyed the message. I thought it was good. I actually had some thoughts even back to the recap that you were given
mm-hmm.
from chapter 11. You talked about how God raised up three enemies against Solomon during his reign.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it as judgment, because Solomon allowed his heart to be turned away from God. And I wrote down that it was sad. And there are scriptures that talk about how the Lord will repent from doing evil mm-hmm. or repent from doing good. And that's how I looked at what Solomon did. He repented of all of the wisdom that was given to him by God
mm-hmm.
because his heart was turned away. He repented of the God-given wisdom he had received at the beginning of his reign.
It sounds like you're talking about, I don't know if that's Ezekiel 3rd chapter or, my, mm-hmm. or somewhere on the 8th. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it talks about how if the wicked turn from their wickedness, mm-hmm. God will repent of the evil that he was going to do to them. Mm-hmm. But if the righteous turn from their righteousness, God will repent from the good he was going to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I thought of it. You know, with regard to Solomon, and you know, I also noted that, you know, I thought that Solomon rebelled against the judgment of God by trying to kill Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of what Ann says all the time, you can't kill God.
Yeah, like, yeah, Tim, wasn't he talking about effigy a little bit this mm-hmm. past week?
Yeah, yeah, kill God in effigy. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, that's exactly what I thought Solomon was trying to do, you know, when Jeroboam, you know, he was trying to kill Jeroboam when he found out that it had been prophesied that Jeroboam was going to receive
10
parts of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just thinking, I liked how you went to the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, where it talks about Solomon basically concluding that someone will take over everything that he's accomplished or everything that he's worked for, not knowing, you know somebody's going to take over. It's kind of like what we say about your job. Mm-hmm. You know what? You can be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get sick or if we die or, you know, if we can, you know, if for whatever reason, we walk off the job. I had somebody walk off the job today. Get a chance to tell you. You know, but it's like you can be replaced. And you know, at least Solomon had enough sense to realize that one day he was going to be replaced, but he did not retain enough godly wisdom to realize that he needed to be providing a godly example for his replacement.
Right.
You know, and that's what I was thinking about. You know, he knew that his, you know, somebody was going to take over everything that he accomplished, but didn't know whether his successor was going to be wise or foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have better ensured that by providing an example of godly wisdom.
You phrased that so well.
You know, and then my other thing, well, I actually had a question.
Okay.
With regard to when Jeroboam and the congregation of Israel came to Rehoboam,
right,
and requested that Rehoboam lift the burden, right, the tax burden, or you know, the labor burden, the tax burden, mm-hmm, that Solomon had placed on them. What was the approach? Was it a request or a demand?
Okay, so just by the way it looks like a request.
You know, and not saying that Rehoboam's response made any difference, right, but you know, I guess that was just something that I wondered about. You know, did Jeroboam come to him and be like, you need to do this, that, and the other? You know, I just wondered what the approach was. But I guess, you know, the other thing is remembering that Jeroboam was coming out of exile, and
in
one sense, you know, I can see, I guess I kind of fall, I wonder about it, but I do fall on the side of Jeroboam's approach being respectful,
mm-hmm,
because he's coming out of exile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because he is trying to do the right thing. But on the other hand, he had Israel behind him.
I think the tone to me would seem to be that it was a request. I think he deferred to him, knowing, I think David, when you see David, there's a deference to Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that what's his name, Jeroboam,
mm-hmm,
wasn't sure how it was going to happen. And so God allowing these things to unfold and then seeing how the people were against them, that is against Rehoboam,
mm-hmm,
it probably helped him to understand better. Okay, now this is about to happen. Especially, I don't know if I would like to know if Jeroboam was a part of the stoning of this Adoram or Adoram,
mm-hmm,
if he led part of that. But because I'd read some things on Jeroboam and how he might have been feeling, but I think even what I read, this was last week, was conjecture, but I think it's plausible where he could have been aggravated, you know, with Rehoboam. Mm-hmm. Rehoboam might have abused the fact that, okay, you got this guy working there, but it looks like a request, because it does show that he goes and say, well, how should I respond to this request by the people? But at the same time, I think sometimes there's a question and there's an implication. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's implied, because he said, we'll serve you. Well, I mean, the opposite of we will serve you is like, well, we won't serve you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Rehoboam was ignorant of the fact that this king, I think, I don't remember reading that in the scripture, but I think Ahijah, here's Jeroboam in Egypt, and he learns that Rehoboam is about to go become king before the people. Mm-hmm. So I just think, you know, they're in, let's say, informants. So I think that he knew that this kingdom was going to be taken away. At least, and if it's saying that in the end of the 11th chapter, I don't remember it. I won't be getting people confused too much just yet, but I think it was a request. But I mean, subtly, it's like understood that you know, you ought to do this. Mm-hmm. So
then one other thing that I was thinking about was, well, I like how you made reference to the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the responsibilities of the king. And I wrote it down: to know, to learn, to keep, and to obey God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Because the king was supposed to transcribe it, and he was supposed to read it.
Right.
And I was just thinking, you know, we had actually talked about this earlier on a different subject, but about transcribing the word was a way to internalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that you made reference to that, because, you know, Solomon was supposed to do this, and he was also supposed to pass it along to his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sad, you know, because he shirked his responsibilities out of selfishness. And it is, you know, that really was a powerful reminder to me about our responsibilities as the earthly rulers in our own homes, mm-hmm. in our households,
mm-hmm.
that we have a responsibility to read, to keep, to know, to learn, and obey God's word.
And to impart. Because some people are so, okay, I see this on my job. Some people are so, I see, let's say, results or effects. I don't know if that's the best word. Or where people are leaving their children so much,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it gets sometimes to the point that the children are ready for their parents to pass on, because it's like, oh, I got something. You know, think about what we call that passage where the son, he says, Daddy, give me mine now. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I'm doing this for you, but give me mine now. Like, you don't matter. And sometimes, you know, you can leave your children so much, but then they can be stupid.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote that down. I said, you know, just thinking about Rehoboam and the counsel that he chose to follow after.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last thing that I had written down. And I noticed a distinction in verse 6.
Okay, 6 of 12?
Of chapter 12, yes. The text states that Rehoboam asked the elders who advised his father,
mm-hmm.
how do you advise that I may answer the people?
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked the young men who grew up with him,
mm-hmm.
what message do you advise that we send back to this people? You know, so this is just conjecture on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But
what verse was that one?
That was
9.
I think it was verse.
I don't even look in the right chapter.
Verse 10.
That's bigger than
verse 6 was where he consulted the old men. And verse.
It's nine.
Or verse. No, it's verse. 10. It says. No, it's verse 9. You're right.
Go ahead. I don't want to throw you off what you're saying.
What counsel give ye that we may answer this people? And so the conjecture on my part is that Rehoboam may have realized that the advice of the aged men was more sound than what the young men gave him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want to take, you know, he didn't want to take full ownership of the response to the people. So it's like he said, how are we gonna answer them, you know? But he didn't say how are we gonna answer them to the old men. So number one, of course he identified more with the young men because they grew up with him.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, I kind of feel like he's like, I'm not taking full responsibility for this, because I know what the aged men said is sound wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to say something different, then I'm not going to be responsible for that.
I think that's a good distinction, of course. I didn't see that, but I think that is good. I don't know. I would say, even with looking at it that way, it seems to me that they'd already talked like prior to his becoming king. Because the son, depending on whatever age he is, would would believe, okay, I'm a prince, I'm going to become king one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, since you bring it out like that, I think it, for at least in my mind, highlights that, okay, one day I'm going to be king, y'all, I'm going to take care of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably, hypothesized
mm-hmm.
what they could do. And man, you got all this land and stuff, man. We can get more than that. I don't know. So I like how you bring that distinction there. At least in these, I got the two translations here, and it still seems to separate what do you advise to the older, and what we're going to respond. So how we will respond. So whether he's going to take blame fully or not, he would be the head. So I think largely the populace would look at him. He's already, so I mean, of course he's got, I would say, having these young people under him, it's probably let's get rid of the old heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. they don't know, or they don't give good advice. Again, I think when you look at what Solomon did in his old age, mm-hmm. you know, the 11th chapter says they, as he grew older, as he became old, they turned his heart away, and probably just getting comfortable, or you know, he's building stuff. Why does Rehoboam even need to think that, you know? And it's God is letting him do this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not going to be judged, but he's letting him do this. And so Rehoboam not even caring, not Rehoboam, mm-hmm. Solomon,
yeah.
not mm-hmm. caring enough how that's going to affect his son.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care enough how it would affect the kingdom. I like that. So yeah, that's good. What else? I feel like you have some more.
That was all.
I've never thought about that like that when I read this. Anyone else? I tried to make the title fit. Hopefully it made sense. So hopefully it made sense. Is there anyone else on this evening?
think the title kind of did.
Kind of.
Well, okay. I think the title was appropriate, especially where we stopped. Because Israel stoned Rehoboam's messenger. I mean, I can hardly keep from laughing when I was reading that verse because it was just funny.
You seemed happy when you read it. But if he didn't even have a say so, you know, I mean,
yeah,
well,
yeah, they was like, we ain't doing it,
Gary.
Yeah, ma'am.
I love the way you pointed out that it's nobody reverted back to God.
Mm-hmm.
In any of the decisions that they made and the counsel that they took and the counsel that they received, even with the people, you know, nobody reverted back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's a short period of time, would you say about 40 years, 20, mm-hmm. 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody reverted back to God. And it is, you read what you saw, you know, God is not mocked.
Yeah,
because it says the whole cause was from the Lord. Yeah. This is why he's not going to listen to the aged men. And he's already chosen a new regime. The young guys, the ones I grew up with, mm-hmm. I have a new crew. This is my new crew. And, you know, it was kind of strange that they gave him some kind of sound advice, you know,
mm-hmm.
but... they never reverted back to God. And so you see, it's like, well, yeah, just lighten it and they'll serve you. Well, what about them serving God? Well, what about breaking down these temples and all of these other idolatrous places that we have? Well, how about us serving the Lord the way that we're supposed to? Nobody ever said it. It never was brought up again, you know. And so... that is what he sold. He sold rebellion.
Yep.
And now rebellion comes to his house. And so he left the kingdom worse off than he received it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that it's like if he started off with such wisdom, and the world entered in.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to worship everything that is about death. Everything, anything that's not of God is death, okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Those that hate God love death. They hate the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Most High God. You love death. And you taught those people to worship death. You taught them that.
Yeah,
but you expect them to serve your household. And so when that doesn't happen, you've taken away ruling authority, which comes from God. All you have is force left.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rule by force now.
Mm.
You have to rule by your own regulations. Because what are you going to say? Well, God said this, well, they're going to be like, hold up. God told you not to do this. So can't be it. So it's now what kind of counsel you can gather together. What's my best route to keep and stay in power? And we see this every day. We
see this
with the election.
Yep.
What's the best way for us to keep people in the dark and keep our power? To keep them serving us and we never have to serve them. Keep them worshiping death.
Yep.
Keep them busy. And so they're going to go from one sin to the other. They're going to go from the frying pan into the fire because Jeroboam's not going to be any better. Mm-mm. But it said that the call was from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had already penciled in, if you do this against me, this is going to happen to you. It was already written.
Yeah.
So it's not his fault if Solomon didn't sit down and write it like he was supposed to. And Rehoboam didn't sit down and write it like he was supposed to and read it, you know, hear it. He already had it written. This is what's going to happen. And, you know, like I said before, it's not a big thing to God to save by few or by many.
That is true.
You can have all these other scoundrels. But it's been written that it's going to come from Judah.
That's right.
He's going to come from, the deliverer will come from Judah. So the rest of y'all can kick rocks.
I ain't heard that in a minute.
And I'm saving for my namesake. Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Thank you. It's like, it's sad. We just need to be thinking. Dre, you said it was like a reminder to you, right? Man, I'm up here reading this and I'm like, whoa. It's, I keep looking, I'm like, our children, they getting tall, voice changing. I'm like, and I know what the Bible says about that vapor of wind. Better do it now. Better do it now. I'd rather be, and on occasion be upset with me now, but later on be like, you know what I'm glad about? Because that's my song. I know, like, with the chastisement don't seem, how'd that go? No chastisement seem, is it pleasant? But yeah, after a while,
right.
I'm like, you know,
it's what a peaceable fruit.
Right, that mature mind know how to look at it. Sometimes we 40, 50, 60 years old and still immature in the mind and don't know how to look at the love of God through his chastisement. Because once that's he let nice. You go, there ain't no coming back. Mm-mm. But they teach you. I was watching something another day. It was so sad. This guy, I think they were saying he had AIDS. And he said he looked like an animal. His face was, it looked like somebody just bludgeoned his face. It was dark. But anyway, he had a disease or something was wrong with him. And he said, I had been taught so much that there was nothing I could do to anger God or whatever. And he said, I was well taught that. And then he was just talking about how he said, look at me now. I was like, whoa, it was so bad. He had just lived any kind of way. And while everybody might not have the same outcome physically or whatever, he was saying it. It was sad. I'm like, better understand who God is. He looked awful. He looked awful. Well, thank you for your comments, everybody. Is there anyone else? Well, I'm hoping to finish up with this 12th chapter. It is on now. Yeah, this Jeroboam. Yeah, you never when his name is mentioned that I can recall, is it ever good in the scripture anymore? So,
the son of Nebat.
Yes.
Made me want to know who Nebat was.
I know. I try to figure out if I can find out who Nebat is. Like you said, Nebat.
Nebat was
Nebat. Yeah. Well, I thank you all for calling in this evening, and Lord willing, we connect back up on Thursday night.